It's time at TalkZone for more world-changing leadership with Our Global Hope. Here again, your host, Dr. Henrik Mann.
Welcome to our listeners. We're back with our guest, Mr. John Perkins, and our listener call-in line is 1-888-463-6748. We're talking about political economy and issues of deregulation and issues of why our world financial markets have imploded. And Charlie, you wanted to respond to some things that John was sharing earlier.
Well, his analysis of the last 40 years is in-depth and accurate. I would only add that the last 100 years have also taught us that a state-controlled economy, whether Marxist or fascist, a totalitarian economy is also not the answer. And the tragic thing going on today in these dialogues, which we are avoiding here and getting past, is that we create ideologies and create systems that become straw men for the other to beat up instead of coming up with solutions. Marxism and or fascism are not solutions any more than keeping the current state of affairs. That would be a first point I'd like to make. And I think another area is that our economic crisis is fundamentally an ethical and spiritual crisis. In saying that, I am not suggesting that we need some kind of global religion. I have my faith, and I want people to affirm faith. But what I'm really talking about is a crisis of values and principles and a crisis of what it means to create a sustainable human life. That's the other aspect of this that you can't simply keep in another category. We also have mutations of mutations. I really like John's description of modern capitalism as a mutation, because now with the global empires of China, Russia, and India as examples, we have new economic powerhouses that have even less ethical and historical controls on them than the American system. So we've got a real challenge ahead of us, and I think it's worthy of tackling but we want to be very careful not to put it in simplistic categories.
John, I'm wondering if you can share with us, from your point of view, the most important characteristics of this mutant capitalism.
Well, I really like Charlie's description there. I think, you know, one interesting thing is that it used to be that we lived on a globe that had about 180-some-odd countries, of which a few were powerhouses, the United Kingdom, Soviet Union, the United States. You could say China's emerging now. But the fact is, the geopolitics has really changed. It just very, very recently. And so we're at a time in history that I think is like when city-states became nations, except now the nations are becoming irrelevant to a certain degree, and it's the big corporations that are taking over. You might better view the globe now, the same 180-some-odd countries, more or less, but there's huge clouds drifting around. These are the big corporations. They know no borders. They respect no specific set of laws. They formed partnerships with the Chinese and the Taiwanese and the Tibetans, with the Israelis and the Arab nations, with whoever has the resources or markets that they covet. And they control the world's mainstream press. They control most of the world's politics, and they control lobbyists all over the world. It's really the big corporations that have become the powerhouses today. This is unique in history. And at the same time, we're experienced for the first time in human history, every person on this planet, every life form, is facing the same crises. Used to have tsunamis in Indonesia, earthquakes in San Francisco, but today everybody is facing climate change. Everybody's facing overpopulation, resources that are diminishing at accelerating rates, prices for fuel, food, and other essentials that are increasing at increasing rates, violence that's due to starvation and deprivation around the world. We're all facing these things together. And for the first time in history, we're all communicating each other through cell phones and the Internet. We're all talking about these things. This has never, ever happened before. This has been just within the last few years, which creates a tremendous opportunity for change. We are truly going through an extremely revolutionary time.
John, I'm aware that our show can be downloaded, the segments, after we're done, by anyone in the world who has an internet connection. So that's certainly something that's dramatic compared to in the 70s I don't think any average person could just all of a sudden have a radio show through the internet and have everybody listen.
Well, that's
so
right.
All, so all of a sudden politics becomes much closer. And in your book, Hoodwinked, you claim that Honduras President Zelaya was overthrown by a military coup engineered by a couple of big oil U.S. companies. I'm sorry, not oil companies, Dole and Chiquita, and then also the CIA. Can you give us some more details?
Yeah, and I just wanted to emphasize again what you said. It's so true about this internet thing. You know, I mean, I just suddenly am on I'm on Twitter now with economic underscore hitman and Facebook, and I got a blog, johnperkins.org, and things come in from all over the world all the time. It's phenomenal, the communications that's going on. It opens the door for many opportunities. And yes, about Honduras, Henrik, what we've experienced in the last few years in Latin America is a real revolution. 10 countries have elected presidents democratically who are saying no to the corporatocracy. They're saying no more exploitation by foreign companies. We don't want foreign aid, but what we do want is to have the right to use our resources to pull our poorest people up by their own bootstraps. 10 countries representing more than 80% of the population of South America have voted in these presidents in the last few years. And every one of these 10 countries during most of my lifetime was run by a series of brutal dictators, usually put in place by the CIA or kept there by the CIA and the corporatocracy. And in Honduras just recently, we had Zelaya demanding a new constitution and increasing minimum wage by 60%. Dole and Chiquita, who are the biggest employers in that country, were infuriated by this. And they joined forces with some other companies that have sweatshops there and other agribusinesses and demanded that Zelaya withdraw all of this. He refused. And so there was a military coup executed by a general from Honduras who was trained by the CIA at the American School of the Americas. And it was, you know, Chiquita used to be United Fruit, and United Fruit did something very, very similar in the 50s in Guatemala with Arbenz. They almost repeated the same process in Honduras. And I think what happened in Honduras was the corporatocracy was really trying to draw a line in the sand and say, you know, no more of this revolution in South America. We've got to put an end to it here. And it didn't succeed. And we're not sure what's actually going to happen in Honduras still. But what we do know is that all the South American countries, with a couple of exceptions, rallied behind Zelaya and are still insisting that the coup leadership withdraw.
Charlie, as you think about us having just recently done a show on Brazil getting the 2016 Summer Olympics, can you put some of what John has shared in the context of the growing power and the growing message from Latin America?
Oh, I certainly can, and I would add an X factor here that does not get the headlines, and that is that throughout Latin America, there are tremendous social and spiritual changes that defy the categories either of corporatocracy or Marxism. One of the things I did was do a lot of study in the early 90s about various indigenous religious movements. And again, I'm not here to promote a particular sect, but you have tremendous explosion of evangelical and Pentecostal religion, a tremendous changes in the Catholic Church positively in terms of social policy. And what they discovered is that the liberation theology and Marxism was a European shill, that what people really want is opportunity, freedom, hope. They want on the local level to build sustainable community. They're not interested in European Marxism or American capitalism. They want to develop something authentic. And I think what we're going to see in the coming 20 years is the opportunity for something new and fresh to emerge. And so what I would want our listeners to know is not only is Don's analysis correct, America has intervened 250 times in Latin America in 200 years, but in addition to that, that the answer isn't Peronistas or Marxism either. The answer is something authentically indigenous to the locale and interconnected with the rest of the world.
John?
Yeah, I agree. And I think Latin America is showing us the way here. You know, we've got this president of Ecuador. I spent a lot of time. I just came back from South America, incidentally. And Rafael Correa, president of Ecuador, he has a PhD in economics from the University of Illinois. This man is a capitalist in the strictest sense of the word. He's not a mutant predatory capitalist. He goes back, right. He goes back way back to Adam Smith and Keynes, or even before Keynes. But he's saying, you know, I'm a capitalist and I want Ecuador to to have capitalism, but I want it to have a form of capitalism that will elevate the poorest of our people to dignity. I want it to be a form of capitalism whereby the people who sit on the land benefit from the oil beneath the land or the gold or the copper or whatever we're extracting, and where we take care of the land. So he just got his country to pass by a close to 80% a new constitution that gives inalienable rights to nature. It's the first in history. Many countries now are sending people there to study this new model. And he's now in the process of trying to institute a new currency, which is based kind of on a barter system where it recognizes the value of what women do in taking care of babies in the home. So he's a very enlightened man with a PhD in economics from the University of Illinois. It's very hard for our country to call this guy a socialist or a Marxist, or he's not any of those things. He is a capitalist, but he's not a capitalist in the mold of this mutant form that I've been talking about. He's truly looking at a revolutionary new way, which is along the lines of what Charlie was describing.
The
key word I want to bring into this discussion, which is we've been around the edges of, is the word empowerment. And whether it is new social or spiritual experiences or new models in Ecuador, in Brazil and other places, what we're watching is the empowerment of people. I'm friends with someone who just raised over $100 million for micro-lending around the world. And it's unbelievable what happens when people have some resources and some support to put their creativity to work and what changes. I'm also a little more sanguine than John on the environmental issues of our planet, because when people are empowered, when people have an opportunity to better themselves economically in a just society, the population stabilizes, the health conditions improve, and even the environment can be turned around. So I'm sanguine about this third way that Latin America could lead us in.
Well, we need to go to our second break, and we'll come back with this fascinating and powerful conversation in just a minute. I want to remind our listeners that our call-in line is 1-888-GO-FOR-IT, and that you can learn more about our show on the World Wide Web, ourglobalhope.com. We'll be right back with John Perkins for more world-changing leadership talk.